we're late. Calling the meeting of the legislative budget hearings to order. Kathy, could you please call the roll?
Ammons.
Present.
Anderson.
Here.
Beckett.
Here.
Benzel.
Here.
Betts. Carter. Coert. Dennis. Gladney. James.
Yes. Yes.
Jay. Jones. Knott.
Here.
Kurtz.
Here.
Langenheim. McGinty.
Here.
Michaels.
Here.
Mosier. Nudo.
Here.
O'Connor.
Here.
Richards. Rosales.
Here.
Sapp.
Oh, there he is.
Schrader.
Here.
Smucker. Weibel.
Here.
Wysocki.
Here.
We barely have a quorum. Entertain a motion to approve the agenda and the addendum.
So moved.
By Steve, seconded by any number of people. I'll say stand because he's louder. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. We have three presentations tonight. First up is the Champaign County Mental Health Board and the Developmental Disabilities Board. Peter, you have 3 minutes. No, I'm
okay. I was told I'd be penalized $20,000 a minute or something. good evening. I want to introduce a couple of people that are here representing the boards. My board vice president for the Mental Health Board is Dr. Deborah Townsend, if you could raise your hand. And then the Developmental Disabilities Board president is Holly Jordan. And for those of you who don't know Tracy Parsons, Tracy is here, and he is the project director of the federal grant that we have, the juvenile initiative that is called the Access Initiative. And so we're glad to have Tracy on board. As you know, I will be talking about a total of five budgets. There's the Mental Health Board, the Developmental Disabilities Board, the Drug Court Fund, the Quarter Cent Fund, and also the Access Initiative grant. Those are all included in the packet of materials you have. I was looking at the presentation I did last year, and last year I talked about how bad the state situation was and how that was going to continue to get worse, and unfortunately it has gotten worse. I sort of feel a little like Chicken Little, and the sky is going to fall. We're very concerned about how the state budget is going to impact on the agencies that provide mental health and developmental disability services and substance abuse services in this community. If there is a tax increase, as you know, the payments are delayed. There have been budget cuts. If there is a tax increase, the concern is that that might not filter down until about April of 2011. That means that some of the agencies could literally be either out of business or they will have to make serious radical adjustments in how they do business. And we feel that our job as the Mental Health Board and the Developmental Disabilities Board is to the extent possible, to stabilize the situation and maintain as many critical services as possible. I want to kind of touch on the priorities, starting with the Mental Health Board. The youth service sector is really our primary area of focus at this point. We have the Parenting with Loving Limits, which is the evidence-based practice that we've implemented in partnership with court services and the state's attorney and other partners in this community. Then we have the federal grant, it's a federal cooperative agreement, which also is focused on youth, primarily youth of color that are overrepresented in the juvenile justice system, and that's why Tracy Parsons is involved in this, and we're really excited to have him on board. We also have six additional staff that have been hired in addition to Tracy that actually work for the Mental Health Board to run this project. The other major area of emphasis is developmental disabilities. We have an agreement with the Developmental Disabilities Board, and so the Mental Health Board makes sure that the money that we provide for developmental disabilities, which is about $500,000, is fully integrated with their money. The other area that we're very interested in is the specialty courts in Champaign County, the drug court, and also, as you probably heard, there is a mental health court that's being implemented. And that is that will be an area of focus for us. We support the drug court to the tune of roughly $200,000, and I think that we're looking at how we can redirect funding to make sure that there are adequate services for the for people that are involved in the mental health court when that gets going. The integration of physical and behavioral health is another area of interest. We have an agreement with the Board of Health where we have co-funded a program that is a perinatal depression program. Unfortunately, because of budgetary issues, I don't think that the Board of Health is going to be able to contribute, but the Mental Health Board will continue those programs. At this point, we're looking at ways to make sure that we maintain that because we think that's an important program. And then the last area really has to do with the gaps that will exist because of the state budget situation. On the Developmental Disability Board side, we have five major areas. In terms of services, vocational services is a huge area priority. Flexible family support, residential, and then comprehensive services for young children, and then the adult day programming those are the primary areas of service that we are focusing on. As I said, we're making some adjustments because of the changes that the state has implemented. One that really stands out in my mind is the apartment services for people with developmental disabilities. The state has literally walked away from that, and so we've had to redirect our money to support the apartment services. And so that's resulted in, as I said, we've had to make some changes, and we've worked with the agencies to make sure that happens. Consumer advocacy and support, we fund three family groups for developmental disabilities. The autism group is one, Down syndrome group, and then there's a new group that is looking at creative employment opportunities for people with developmental disabilities. And then again, on the developmental disability side, the whole issue of the gaps that are being created is another area that we're constantly going to be looking at. The last thing I want to touch on is something I think is very important, and that's the whole issue of service integration and attempting to work with our partners in county government. We have, there's a list in the material that I provided you. There are 12 areas that I would like to just kind of comment on. The first is that we do have a memorandum of understanding between the Developmental Disability Board and the Mental Health Board to make sure that there is coordination. We have a memorandum of understanding with Champaign County for the drug court fund and also for the quarter cent fund. And actually, this year, we attempted to maintain all of the programs funded through quarter cent. One of them is the RPC diversion program. The other is the Don Moyer program. Unfortunately, because of the revenue situation, it looks like we're going to be falling short, but we're going to make up the money with Mental Health Board money to make sure that we continue those programs. We also have the quarter cent administration team. We actually have a team of people from the county, the state's attorneys involved, the court services, and the person from the residential, the detention center, I'm sorry, Connie Kaiser is involved. And we meet quarterly to look at how the quarter cent money is being used and making sure that's working the way we want it to work. The other area of collaboration, the parenting with love and limits, is a huge area that we worked with law enforcement and state's attorney on. The cooperative agreement with the state and the federal government. The access initiative is the cooperative agreement. The other areas programs through the Regional Planning Commission and also the Children's Advocacy Center. Then we have a couple of huge anti-stigma program that we use the Roger Ebert Film Festival as our centerpiece for, and then the Disability Expo, which is coming up at Lincoln Square on October 16th. And that typically between 1,200 and 1,500 people attend that expo, and that's going on. So those are some of the things that we're involved in. And as I said, we have five budgets here. If anybody has any questions about anything I've talked about, I'd be happy to answer them. And I also have people to help me. Yes, Spark.
I appreciate this overview of your programs and the comments that you've made regarding funding sources and at least some kind of a handle on state revenue, what you think may come, if not later, as opposed to, and those that the state may just, as you said, walk away from the program. Bottom line, when you put these five budgets together and I look at all of these initiatives and programs, are you going to be able to fulfill each of these projects next year with the information that you have at this point, or are you still in a position where you may need to trade something off in order to do something else?
It's possible we may need to do some trading, but that will be, I think, subject for conversation with the agencies, and it'll be something that we'll be doing during the course of the year. The boards, both of the boards have given us the authority to redirect money, if necessary, through a contract amendment process, and so that's something that we can do. We're going to try to maintain all of our priority, the major priorities that I've listed. I mean, obviously the federal grant, pretty much all of the match is from programs that we fund that are involved with that. So that's something that has to continue to be a priority, or we'll lose the federal money. So. But we're going to try to, I mean, we've made a big investment in the Paradigm of Love and Limits as our evidence-based practice, and it's showing some very good returns. In fact, if any of you are interested, Scott Sells, who was the developer of that project, will be at our October board meeting to give us the first cut on the research that has been done. That program has an independent research component that looks at how the kids are doing, and starting with whether families get engaged and kids get engaged, and then all the way to recidivism, looking at recidivism numbers, and so that ought to be an interesting process to look at.
Are there any other questions for Peter? Well, you are great to get us back on track schedule-wise. Appreciate that, Steve.
I move that we receive the budget information placed on file.
Second. Motion by Steve, seconded by Pius, to accept and place on file. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Thank you very much,
okay,
Peter.
Thank you.
Appreciate
very much.
The time. And that frees up Cam to use more time if he needs it. We know that he usually needs it, but...
I'm going to follow Peter's example.
Cam is up next with the RPC and related funds.
Sorry about
And you, Cam, you have officially until 6:30 or so, if you need it. But if you can keep us ahead of schedule, that would be great too.
I mean, I can fill some time.
Careful what you ask.
I should have filled the
time. You have 3 minutes.
We appreciate the opportunity to be here. Hopefully we won't take till 6:30. I also want to introduce Betty Murphy, who is our Chief Operating Officer. And Betty is really the primary person responsible for preparation of our budget, her and her staff. So I want to give them recognition for that. As you will see with the budget document that we handed out, it's a fairly complicated and pretty extensive budget. Let me try to give you sort of an overview of where we are, and then Betty and I will both be available to answer questions. Our proposed FY11 budget, if you take the total budget, is somewhere in the neighborhood of $22 million. That accommodates over 116 departments, 10 major program areas. Federal and state grants account for about 85% of that income. And not surprising, salary and fringe benefits represent nearly 65% of the expenses. We anticipate our staffing levels to probably come down slightly from where they are, but from at least most of next year to be in the neighborhood of 185 employees. We're currently over 200. And a lot of that has to do with the continuation and enhanced funding for a few initiatives that we got some big boosts in through the federal stimulus package, and specifically that is weatherization, LIHEAP, the National Spatial Data Infrastructure Grant, and I can talk more about that if you want, energy efficiency and conservation block grants, state metro planning grant, and Safe Routes to School, which is currently a contract we have with the city Champaign, which we hope will be an ongoing contract with them. So those are some of the areas where, again, we kind of anticipate that we'll at least be at the levels we were this year, possibly some growth in those areas. Let me talk, if I could, for a couple of minutes about some areas that are, you know, very specific to the county budget. The Champaign County planning contract for next year has been budgeted at $68,833. That represents a 10% decrease from the current year, which I think is keeping in practice with other budget cuts with other county agencies. Likewise, the Champaign County membership dues for RPC for 2011 is budgeted at $22,365. That represents a 0% increase, which actually will be the third year in a row that we've done a 0% increase. And going back a few years, you know, typically that has had an increase built in every year. So we've had 3 years of that. I'm not sure that we'll be able to do that again next year, but, you know, we'll be dealing with that next year at this time. Senior services programs budgeted with a 4% decrease at about $22,200. And as Peter mentioned earlier, the Mental Health Board also provides support for this program. I think you're going to hear about this later, I think, maybe with the Transportation Committee meeting, but the Champaign County support for QOTS, which is through the Highway Department, would total $26,284. That does represent a 5% increase, which has been a standard practice with QOTS, and all the members of QOTS have agreed to continue with that 5% annual increase. That particular amount of investment and the other membership dollars we get from local agencies actually leverages over $475,000 in other state and federal funding. You also heard Peter mention the court diversion project. That's budgeted at $141,302, which is a 0% increase from the current year. And again, there's quite a bit of leverage involved in that. Police training is, again, a local match. It does have the annualized 5% increase and is tied to state grant contributions. That's budgeted at $6,652. And again, that leverages about $400,000 of other funds. Last but not least is the GIS Consortium. Champaign County's portion of the consortium budget budget will include the base allocation of $214,245, and I think that's actually been the same amount since I've been here, so probably 3, maybe 4 years. In addition to that, there is the assessment mapping project, which has been funded by the county. That's budgeted at $19,565, and that does represent a 10% decrease from the current year. And that will also be combined with the Champaign County GIS special projects budget at about $31,500, and that also represents a 10% decrease from the current year. So with that, you know, we've tried to draft our budget to be realistic, also offer some flexibility. I think certainly those of you who've been on the board a while sort of understand some of the challenges with our budget, because we don't always know what grants we're going to get, and even the ones we know we're going to get, we don't always know exactly when we're going to get the money. So that does present some budget challenges for us, but we think this is a pretty good budget for next year. And again, it represents what I would consider to be a stable budget over this year. We've seen significant revenue increases in the last couple of years, and we think we're going to maintain that for at least most of next year. We probably will begin to see some significant revenue declines about this time next year, at least is what we're anticipating. So. Yes, Mr. Perkins.
We've had some really good revenue increases due to the stimulus at RPC. I'm assuming you budget in as they come to an end starting next year. How much money do you see decrease, and where do you see that affecting you?
You know, that's a little bit hard to answer, and I say that because the some of the programs that got significant funding increases through the stimulus package, we thought would actually start to see funding decreases now, September of 2010. However, through other federal budget processes, federal government has sort of continued to fund these programs at pretty high levels. Where I'm mostly concerned personally is with our LIHEAP program, and I say that because I've been monitoring the federal budget discussions. There is at least discussion, go back a couple of years before stimulus, the total federal funding for LIHEAP was about $3.1 billion. Under stimulus, that increased to about $5.1 billion, and it appears to me at least possible and maybe likely that in the upcoming federal year budget, they may cut that back to $3.1 billion, not below where it was, but below or back to the pre-stimulus levels. That's probably the main one. On the other hand, we've seen significant increases in weatherization, and everything that I'm reading and hearing on the national level would lead me to believe that they'll continue to fund that at a pretty high level.
And our weatherization stimulus will extend through next June. Our Head Start expansion, which is funded out of ERA, will extend to next September. Whether that'll be renewed, we don't know at this time.
Yes.
Could you talk a little bit about how your financial picture translates to your personnel picture? Do you have more people now than last year at this time? Do you have more people in some areas but lesser in other areas? How is that shaking up?
You know, that's actually, it's a very interesting question, because the overall picture is often different than, you know, sort of the individual program and department picture, because we have so many different funding sources, and typically some are up and some are down, and we're seeing some of that. I would say that pre-stimulus, our current employment is probably, I'm going to say maybe 30 people higher than if you go back to pre-stimulus days. And most of those increases have been in a couple of the programs I mentioned, which were LIHEAP and weatherization particularly. Betty mentioned Head Start expansion, so that was, you know, we're serving more children, so we hire more people to do that. On the other side, I would say the area where where we've begun to see some staff contraction, actually is in our transportation staff. We're currently down two positions there. We're not sure exactly when those positions will come back because it's based on how much work we have to do, and we just didn't have the revenue to support those two positions. We had a just to continue that, and I'm not sure if I'm reading something in your question you didn't ask. We did issue some layoff notices in Head Start at the beginning of the summer, anticipating a significant loss in state funding, and then the state sort of came through after the 11th hour. So we issued 9 layoff notices. We're in the process of recalling all 9 of those folks. Now, they had simply moved to other positions within Head Start that weren't funded by the state, but we're now moving them back into the positions that they vacated.
In the weatherization program, are these year-long positions? Because it seems to me that there are some peak periods when people are signing up for either the summer program or the winter program.
You may be thinking of LIHEAP. Weatherization we really do pretty much year-round, and it's pretty even throughout the year. Obviously, there are times weather-wise, that sort of impact on our ability to do work. We do have big surges in clients looking for LIHEAP assistance, and we've seen significant increases in the last year and a half with that. But our staff, for the most part, and we have a couple people that are part-time and some that may not want to work all year round, but for the most part, our LIHEAP staff are year-round employees.
Doing LIHEAP.
LIHEAP, yes.
So I just needed to understand this document that I'm looking at here. In the first, any one of them you can look at, but in the first part of it, it talked about revenue. Is that just the source for that? So if I'm on page 34 of the book, 34 of the booklet. And I'm just looking at the first part of that on page 34 is the HUD Community Development Block Grant.
Yes.
And it gives us a total there. It says actual, original, projected, and budgeted. That amount is the only available resources for this particular program. Is that my understanding?
Yeah, that's correct. I mean, our funding sources are very restrictive. That's why we have 116 of them. They all fund something very specific. Now, I will say we have one or two funding sources we have a little bit more flexibility with than others, but we don't have a lot of flexibility.
And it is a amount that you have under that, like on 511, 3 regular full-time employees, and you have a figure there. Is that a portion of that person's salary coming from this particular grant?
Yeah, that's one of the challenging things actually about managing RPC is that every minute that one of our staff spends working has to be charged to a funding source. We don't just have just money that comes in and we pay people. They have to actually be charged. So it's this would be a portion of a person's time, and we have a number of people who may charge to multiple funding sources.
Thank you.
Are there any other questions for Cam or Betty? Is there a motion to accept and place this report on file by Steve, seconded by Al? Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? That motion carries. I think we're good. Thank you very much, both of you. Thanks.
Yes, 15 minutes.
That was great. Thank you. The next presenter, I don't think, is hearing. Highway Department. So we'll wait for them to arrive.
Yeah, they get from here. So are we finished by
the time? We have 30 and 10 seconds left.
So quick.
Hopefully we're such a... See, so efficient. This board is so efficient. Why do we need 22?
Yeah, right.
Loose change, where you want?
Oh. You know, I left at the same time, but I think he was going to Ogden to do a moisture check or something. I hope he was listening when I told him to go out of dry corn for the bin. I want to do my deal tomorrow. I don't care how wet it is, but I'm like standing on it.
Well, I'm trying to
I'm sorry, yeah, 93.
I got there in 94.
Okay.
Yeah, so you went here.
With the highway presentation by Jeff, and so if everybody could take a seat. Jeff, you're up. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. As in the past, we made up a book here at the highway department that kind of shows what we do and where our money goes, a little bit more than what we typically get off of the budget process. But, and I'm not going to try to go through all this tonight because Brendan says we want to be done in a half an hour. So I'll hit the highlights here. If you have any questions, please stop me at any time. The beginning couple of pages there, just a mission statement. There is a, on the second page there, is a goals and accomplishments. We set goals every year, and if you want to read through those haven't changed much from year to year, but I did list our significant accomplishments based on those goals. You'll see behind there the org chart for the highway department has changed a little bit this year. We have a maintenance worker who is retiring actually this Friday, Jim Fiedler. We aren't asking to replace that position, so we're going to have 10 highway maintenance workers instead of 11 for here on out. Two mechanics, and we continue to do the work on the county fleet vehicles. My highway projects accounting assistant has notified me that she will be retiring in January, but that is definitely a position that we need to backfill, because that would only leave one clerical position and one person to do all the accounting work, which is not feasible. The next page is the highlights of the different funds that we get at the highway department, and I know you've probably all been through this before. Our main fund is our county highway fund. That's levied through the county. Our budget this year is $1,940,000. Most of the use of this highway fund is used towards personnel costs, keeping the power on at the building, buying capital equipment, those types of things. The county bridge fund, which is levied at $988,000 this year, is used just to do what the title would lead you to believe. It goes to rebuild the county bridges, not only on the county highway system, but also on the township system as well. Motor fuel tax, 2010, we are budgeting down a little bit for motor fuel tax. We have an anticipated revenue in 2010 of about $2.6 million from the motor fuel tax funds. This is down roughly 10% from previous years. Now, if you flip over to the second page, continuing on with motor fuel tax, the legislature has promised, and you can take that for what you will, a 15% increase in the motor fuel tax allotments based on the 2009 State of Illinois Capital Program. It's supposed to be money that's guaranteed for 5 years due to the fact that they passed a law where they allowed 80,000-pound truckloads on all public roadways. As of now, we have not seen that money in 2010. I'm skeptical whether we will see it in 2010, so therefore we have not budgeted for that money in 2011. So that 15% would get us, you know, roughly up to about $3 million. Would be a nice added boost to our motor fuel tax funds, but I'm not banking on it. I'm just hoping that that it might come. But they have promised through that law that at some point there will be a 5-year bump in our motor fuel tax funds. Motor fuel tax funds are basically used to rebuild the county highways, pay for the engineering to rebuild our county highways. We also use them on county bridges. We use them for our maintenance work, our seal coat, our pavement striping, our shouldering, all the stuff that we do basically that the traveling public sees us out doing on the roads. Those monies are derived through the motor fuel tax fund. Every time you go to the pump, it's 19 cents to the state of Illinois, and I'll show you towards the end how that money is divvied up, but that's where the motor fuel tax fund comes from. Federal aid matching tax is levied at the minimum amount, budgeted at $7,300 this year. Many years ago, back before I became county engineer, that was dropped down to the minimum amount to be able to transfer some money to other places, and we're still keeping it at the minimum amount because there are certain things that that pot of money can do that we can't do with other pots of money. So we want to make sure we keep it alive so that if we ever need to levy against that federal aid matching tax, we can. We do get money from the Federal Highway Surface Transportation Program, roughly about $500,000 a year. That's from the Federal Highway Administration. You'll see how those monies are divvied up there in that allocation formula. Typically, we'll build those monies up over 3, 4, 5 years and do a larger project because, as you know, with federal money comes federal rules and federal regulation and federal red tape. So the bigger the project you can do with the federal money, the better off you are, because you want to do bigger projects less often than do smaller projects all the time, because that money, like I said, is sometimes tough to handle and tough to spend. Our township road districts, although they're not directly under my supervision, we do offer them a lot of help, both in engineering and construction, through the years, as well as their monies through the township motor fuel tax allocation comes through the highway department, and we do their programs for them. We do their bidding for them. They come to us for advice on how to spend the money. There is also a township bridge program, as you'll see there in the about two-thirds of the way down the page. Those monies come directly off the top of the motor fuel tax funds, and those are to rebuild township bridges in your county. Right now, our annual allotment is about $327,000 a year. We match that with county bridge money in order to build township bridges. A typical year, we'll do anywhere from 6 or so county or township bridges a year, just to keep up with the 600 bridges that are out there. We have to do multiple bridges every year in order to keep up. And then there is a federal bridge replacement rehabilitation program that we get $238,000 from. Typically, that money is also used on off-system bridges, which would be bridges off of the county system on the township highways. So we have lots of different pots of money to draw from. There's rules with every pot of money. You can only use it on certain things, but we use them to the best of our ability to keep the roads and bridges going. You'll see the township valuations there on the next page, and you'll notice that our total mileage of 1,532 miles of township roads in Champaign County, we're in the top 5 in the state as far as mileage goes on the township system. So we do have a lot of miles out there, which also obviously brings a lot of bridges and a lot of maintenance and a lot of construction. There's some pages there that that kind of identify what the role of CUOTS is. CUOTS is our metropolitan planning organization that all the state transportation urban money is filtered through, and they are the people that do all of our regional planning for transportation, all of our traffic counts, all of the different types of studies that we do on corridors, that kind of work. They do a tremendous job, and there's money very well spent, and I think our MPO, as far as what we hear from IDOT, is one of the best MPOs as far as getting work done. People traditionally having similar goals and similar aspirations and trying to get things accomplished within our metropolitan planning organization. So we go to the kind of the meat of the budget. The county highway fund, as I said, $1,940,000 this year in the levy. Moving on to the next page, you'll see a $25,000 reimbursement from the state. That's for our sign program that we are going to be completing. Then we have some miscellaneous other revenues that come from use of motor fuel tax equipment and engineers and so forth. And you'll see our total revenues for the county highway department of about $2.4 million in the highway fund. Of that $2.4 million, you'll see on the personnel line item that about $1.6 million of that is spent on personnel. And that is everybody but me, basically. My salary is paid out of the motor fuel tax fund as well as it comes from federal funds, but everybody else in the highway department is paid out of the highway fund. So that's where two-thirds of our funds end up going. And then as you read down, there's know, there's a litany of different things that we have to pay for: gas service, electric service, water service, gasoline and oil is a big one. We spend, we're budgeting $115,000 alone just on diesel fuel and gasoline to keep our trucks and vehicles on the road. Maintenance of heavy equipment runs us about $100,000 a year. And then as you continue on to the last page of the highway fund, our heavy equipment, which is our larger trucks, end loaders, motor graders, that kind of stuff, we're budgeting $125,000 this year, which is down a little bit from previous years due to the fact that we had that fire this year, and we were actually, I guess that's not a blessing, but we're actually able to replace an older truck through some insurance payments so that we could drop that from our 2011 budget. So you'll see that's down from previous years. Usually, we like to budget about $200,000 a year in our maintenance and equipment budget, and that is based on just figuring out how long the vehicles last, how many miles they're going to be driven, and what the average annualized equalized cost of those vehicles are. So we're our expenditure total at $2.4 million, our revenue totals at $2.4 million, balanced budget for the County Highway Fund. You'll see our expense per capita has gone down in 2011. Our FTE history, we were going down in 2011, as I said. Some of our performance indicators, we do tend to come in very close to costs when we estimate projects and build them. So that's been a very good performance indicator for us, showing that when we design it and go out to build it, we'll typically be really close to the cost, both on roads and bridges. Our other performance indicators, we have some new ones in there this year, right out of the pavement management system. The pavement condition index of roadways is basically what grade would you give your roadways based on roughness and cracking and their strength and their overall how they feel when you drive them as a person driving down the road. And a 72 PCI is pretty good. We like to keep all of our roadways above 60. You'll see the performance indicator number 6, percent of roadways at PCI above 60. We're in the low 80s, predicting 83% next year. So we're keeping our roads in pretty good shape overall with the amount of motor fuel tax funds that we have to do the maintenance and construction on our roadways. Move on to the County Bridge Fund. Revenue totals of $1,058,000. The majority of it comes directly from tax levy. Have a little bit of money there in government reimbursements and some interest money because we do have a little bit of a fund balance there in that budget. But you'll see all of that money does go towards basically engineering and construction of bridges and culverts on the county and township system. That is our only expenditure source. We got $900,000 this year budgeted in bridges and culverts. Again, our expenditure totals $1,031,000, revenues at $1,058,000, so we're balanced there as well. We do have a number of county projects coming up in the future. County Road 23, which is on the northern side of the county, north of Dewey there. County Road 23 bridge to be replaced. We got a bridge on County Road 6 over by Monticello Road. We have a joint repair that we're going to be working on. County Road 11 by Flatville. We have a bridge there that's in dire need of replacement that will be replaced. The St. Mary's Bridge down south. That's a major program bridge project, which means it's over $1 million to replace that bridge. So we have applied for and received major bridge construction money for that project, as well as the bridge up on Maplewood Road, which is in Rantoul, there near the golf course. We've applied for and received major bridge programming money on that one because it's well over $1 million. And the bridge just south of there on on Maplewood as well. It's also deteriorating quickly. I applied for today, actually sent it in today to IDOT, because that bridge will be over $1 million for major bridge programming money on that. And we hope to get that, because I would assume in the next 5 years or so, that bridge will probably need to be posted due to its quick deterioration. But without major bridge programming money to build a $1 million bridge basically chews up our entire bridge fund for an entire year, which means we can't match township bridge program money, we can't do culvert repairs and those kind of things. So we really need to be aggressive in going after those funds in order to be able to repair and replace those major bridges. So you'll see there just another breakdown of the county bridge funds as we go through there. Somehow that got put in there twice for some reason. Not sure why, but it's there. If you want to read it twice, go for it. County Motor Fuel Tax Fund, as I said, this is our maintenance and construction fund. $2.6 million in motor fuel taxes, along with some miscellaneous other revenues, gets us to $2.7 million. You'll see in our expenditures, our road and bridge maintenance is up considerably over the past, and that's due to the fact that we're using the pavement management system now and trying to get out there and take care of our roads by doing crack sealing, seal coating, microsurfacing, those types of projects, instead of waiting until the road is totally shot and having to go out there and rehabilitate or do a major reconstruction. We're trying to be more proactive through our pavement management system and get on top of those roads before they deteriorate to any great state. Road improvements, you'll see $2.5 million budgeted in 2011. I am working with IDOT to see if I can get that project as a federal aid project in 2012, which means we'd be able to bid it in July of 2011. It is a $2.5 million project. It's County Road 11, runs from US 45 over, goes east over to County Road 32, and then north up through Gifford, and then on north of 136. It's a 15-mile mill and overlay project on County Road 11, and I'm hoping that if we can get 80% of that paid through federal funds, that road improvement piece will drop down significantly. It'd be more like $500,000 instead of $2.5 million. We do have an unbalanced budget in the motor fuel tax fund. You'll see that we do have a fund balance projected in 2010 of about $5.5 million. So we're trying to make sure that we're staying on top of the roads, maintenance and construction-wise, and not letting them go, and trying to get, use some of that fund balance to make sure that we're keeping that pavement condition index in a good place and making sure that we're keeping good roads for the traveling public to drive on. Behind the motor fuel tax fund budget shows the source of the Illinois motor fuel tax funds and the distribution of it. The easiest thing to look at in that particular piece of the budget is the distribution of the Illinois Motor Fuel Tax Fund, which is kind of a flow chart there. You'll see that 19 cents per gallon goes into the Motor Fuel Tax Fund. There's a significant amount of money that is siphoned off the top to different types of agencies and programs. Once it gets down, the local portion of it is 54.4. The state portion is 45.6. Of that 54.4%, counties under population of 1 million, which is us, receive 18.27% of that 54.4%. So I guess you'd say that's somewhere in the neighborhood of 9% overall is what comes to the counties. And that is distributed to the counties based on the number of registered motor vehicles you have in your county. So we do get a pretty good share of the motor fuel tax fund because we're obviously more populated than the majority of the counties in the state of Illinois. federal aid matching monies. Like I said, we have that at the minimum. We are building up a balance. We have about $350,000 in that account. We'll continue to build that balance until we need that money to match a federal aid project that we aren't able to match with other types of funds. So we'll just keep that one kind of going there. The last piece of the budget is the report that came out of the 2010 analysis through our pavement management system with Applied Research Associates. This goes over probably painfully for you if you want to read it, all the different things that they do on our roads and the different types of assessments that they do to help us with our managing our pavements. You'll see on page 5 of the pavement management system kind of a nifty little colored map that shows the PCI values. Again, those are the pavement condition indexes, so that shows you which roads in the county are in the best shape. We like to keep everything 60 to 80 in that range or higher. You'll see some of our roads, County Road 1, 11, 20, they're in the 40 to 60 range, and we do have one up to the northwest, County Roads 8 and 30, and County Road 22 over to the northeast, who have dropped into that low range where we don't like to see any roads. But sometimes when you're doing pavement management, you got to, I think I've told you this before, you kind of got to pick winners and losers, and there's some roads, if you go out there and do maintenance to them, you're really not going to do them any good, so you kind of let them go to the point where you have to do major rehabilitation or major reconstruction. So you can see there kind of where our good roads are and where our roads that need help are. Flipping through some of these charts and different things onto page 12 of that pavement management system, you'll see why we want to get out there in table 1, why we want to get out there early and do maintenance. Crack seals and chip seals, you're looking at $1 to $2 a square yard, whereas you get up to a 3-inch mill and overlay, you're at almost $20 a square yard. So you're 10 times more expensive to do serious construction versus just doing your typical maintenance. And a reconstruction is probably pushing that $40 a square yard now to reconstruct a road. So that's why we're trying to stay on top of them and make sure that we're getting to them before they get to that point. You'll see on page 15, this is our detailed work activities for 2010 through 2014 that come out of the pavement management system. And just behind that is a nice colored map that kind of show that detailed work activity. Now, we don't follow this verbatim. These are the recommendations that come out of the pavement management system. We will generally follow the maintenance that is shown in these verbatim, but some of the construction that comes out of these tends to get broken up, and you end up doing 2 miles here and 3 miles there. So we try to pool projects together, and that's why you'll see that County Road 11 and County Road 32 project that I was talking about that we're going to do in 2011. That's split between two different years in our table, but since they're contiguous to each other and would make one nice large project for a contractor to bid on, we're going to group those two projects together so that we kind of get an economies of scale when we do that project. So you'll see those two projects there as needing rehabilitation, and they show 2012, 2011, but we're going to try to back that 2012 up and do them all in one fell swoop. So that's my 20, 25 minutes. I'd be happy to answer any questions you have on the Highway Department budget. I'll start the front pies.
Just one question. Looking at your maps on page 5 and 16 of the... I noticed that on County Road 22, half of it's 80 to 100, a little more than half, and the other half is 0 to 20.
Mm-hmm.
And you have planned no work planned for till after 2014. I assume that because there's the traffic counts paid low on that route?
Traffic counts, it's our last seal coat road on the county system. So when you measure PCI, a lot of it has to do with cracking and roughness. And you know, when you drive a seal coat road, it's a lot rougher. It's got a lot more cracking than a typical hot mix road that has a nice profile. So there's not much traffic up there, maybe 250 vehicles a day. Mm-hmm. It's probably County Road 8, County Road 30, and County Road 22 are probably our lowest trafficked roads in the county. And where you see the blue section of County Road 22, that's where we did that economic development project to make that into a 80,000-pound road.
Yeah.
So I don't know that you would see that one blue if we wouldn't have got that money. Right. It would probably be down in the green section. So, but we did get extra money to do that. That's why there's kind of a split there at the Penfield area.
That answers part of it, because that was the area I was going to ask you about, too. That does go up to the Penfield Forest Preserve.
Right.
So this year, with the bridge out...
Yeah, you can't get there from here, can you?
It's taken a lot of traffic. We're doing traffic count now. But being up there just a few days ago, I'm curious, how long is... You know, that bridge has been working on for quite a while. How much longer is it going to take?
Yeah, and that was another major bridge program project. That bridge is like $1,300,000. So any time you undertake a project of that magnitude, it's going to take you a while. And we may not remember it now looking at our grass in the front yard, but back in the spring we had major flooding. So they really got behind because they were trying to work down the river. Yeah. So it's probably going to be November before that bridge is opened up. They're just getting the deck beams put on now.
And I went to a forest preserve thing. This was a little while back.
Right. Yeah.
A lot of people got there very late because they got lost with detour signs.
We did help out the township highway commissioner and kind of give him a lot of recycled asphalt to rebuild his little runaround road. So we're trying to work with those folks up there to make sure they can get around the bridge the best they can by using the township roads. Yeah.
Thank you.
Jeff, in the past, your budgets, and maybe I've missed it here in the report, you've shown what kind of payoff we've got on some of our major capital projects, like Curtis Road, what we've got left to pay on that.
Right.
And also, do you have any kind of a figure, if we're talking about Olympia Drive, what kind of, I know we're capped at $1 million, but mm-hmm. down the road, projection-wise, if we have to spend $3 million or $5 million or whatever, if that's so desired, what kind of funds do we have, or what kind of end balances are we looking at for
during the county board meeting? We've got a presentation. I've got that exact spreadsheet you're asking for in a PowerPoint presentation, so all that information will be there. I don't have it memorized, but it will definitely be shown during the committee of the whole, just after this, when I'm on the agenda.
Okay. Okay.
Yep. Yes. Say that again.
The very first page, down at the bottom of the...
Oh, yeah, okay. I see where you're at.
See the big jump from...
Yeah, and that's because if you look at line item 53348, road bridge and maintenance, we're doing a lot more maintenance in the future than we are now, because we're trying to, like I said, through the pavement management system, we're trying to get our roads maintained instead of having to wait and spend a whole bunch of money to go out there and rebuild them when they get deteriorated. So all that money, you'll see $350,000 there between 2010 and 2011. Budget, all that's going towards the maintenance of the roads.
I'm going down to the bottom where it says services, down from that. Where it
was all that is the total of all those.
Okay, cool.
Of all those, from 511 to 540 or 534, that's just the total amount of all those line
Got
items
it.
There.
Got it.
Yep.
Thanks. Okay.
Yes.
Can you briefly explain the difference between repair and rehabilitation?
Yeah, I mean, it's repair. In what context? In context of something that you've seen in here?
On page 16, you have repair, replace, or what was that? repair, maintenance, and rehabilitation.
Is this in the
rehabilitation? Is you remove everything and put
yes.
the road in?
Yeah.
And then repair, you just do patchwork?
Repair would be like a mill and an overlay or patchwork, or, you know, where you don't physically go all the way down to the bottom of the road and start back from scratch, where you don't get down into the base because your roadway has deteriorated so much that, you know, it's basically the asphalt or the concrete, whatever you have, is cracked all the way from the bottom up, and there's really nothing left you can do with it besides reconstruct it or rehabilitate it, which means you're going to either rip it out or you're going to chew it up and reuse it in some kind of green way by doing recycling.
And paint is just spraying it with that black...
Yeah, it would be crack sealing, you know, which is the rubberized asphalt in the cracks, seal coat work, which is, you know, putting the oil and the aggregate down. Could be a microsurfacing, which is a very, very thin asphalt overlay. We're going to be doing that out on Monticello Road from 45 over to 57. And those are the kind of applications you do where you don't have major, you know, rehabilitation that you'd have to do with the road, where the surface still looks good, but if you let it go much longer, it oxidizes, it continues to crack, the water gets into it, and then that's when you really have problems, when the water gets into the roadway and, you know, kind of gets your subgrade damp, and then you get a lot of heavy loads, and then your roads start to come apart, and then you're into rehabilitation or reconstruction.
So that we've got time before the full board begins, are there any other critical questions? I guess Barbara has one.
On a totally different subject here, one of the things your operation does now is not only work on your own trucks, but you also work on other county vehicles.
Yes.
How's that working out?
I think it's working out beautifully. I mean, if you ask the other department heads, I think we are saving them money, we're saving them time. Obviously, we have the we have two mechanics now. We had zero when I got here. We went to one to work on our own equipment. Now we've got two. They're busy. I mean, they're not busy all the time, but pretty much all the time. And, you know, we've got a lot of sheriff vehicles coming through there, any department that wants to come there. I think it's working out well. We've done it now so that that mechanic's position, there's a transfer of money from the general corp fund to pay for that so that we don't have to worry about billing everybody and worrying about getting the money back. We bill them for the parts, and we pay the labor, and it gets reimbursed to the general corp fund. So I think it's working marvelously. I think the building obviously helps out in that, and we're getting things done real quick, and I think at an economical cost.
Is there anything else critical for Jeff at this point so we can take a minute before the full board?
Quickly, Matt. I just would like everybody to look very carefully at
your microphone.
Excuse me. Not so quickly after all. I would like for the board members to look at, and not now, you don't have to do it now, but this flow chart that he has for the motor fuel tax fund, and notice, please, that municipalities get 49.1% and the counties get 16 or 18.
16
and they, 18. They get actually much more than we, but they want ours too. Just keep that in mind.
With that, we will go ahead and adjourn this budget hearing.
Second.
Motion by Steve, seconded by Pius. Is there any discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Thank you very much, Jeff. We'll take a couple minutes before the full board meeting.